Yes, hello folks, welcome to the weekly Manchester United show. I'm your host as always, Phil Branch, I'm with my regular co-host Martin Walworth. Of course, as I promised yesterday, we'll be back with the weekly Manchester United show. So much to get through today. We'll talk about, of course, the Watford game coming up this weekend. Nightmare game. They've had a brilliant start. Of course, on top of that, there's the Champions League for next week, which we'll take a quick look ahead to. United play Young Boys. We'll reflect on some of the international performances and what that will mean for United. We'll talk about some of the other stuff that's made the headlines, Zidane, Alderweireld and all that, director of football. I've got some questions from Twitter that have made it in here. But before we do that, I just want to say a massive special thank you to so many amazing people on social media who kindly left me some lovely messages yesterday in what was clearly a difficult day for me. So and that gratitude also goes out to my co-host here, who's always a consistent friend and always there for me through difficult times. But thanks to so many amazing people who kindly left lovely messages. It was the birthday, of course, yesterday of my wife, who passed away, so I want to dedicate this to her. But anyway, mate, like I said, so much to get through. Watford this weekend, I want to talk to you. Want to start there, because Watford have had a fantastic start this season. It's a very, very difficult game for United. And I've sat and I've thought about this game, and the only thing I can say with absolute certainty is that there's nothing that's absolute certain. I don't know what to expect. I don't know how to predict. I think it's a nightmare to try to pretend what you know what's going to happen. I have absolutely no idea what to expect from United this weekend.
Well, I think the same can be said for on a weekly basis, really, these days. These are games that... And by the way, that's not just a knock on United. That's full credit to Watford.
Yeah.
I mean, they've started the season superbly well. Obviously, highly doubt they can keep that pace up. But it's a sign of the times right now. These are games in the past that it was pretty much a gimme. It's 3 points in the bag. You move on. You potentially went to places like that and chopped and changed a little bit. Got some players off their feet. But United have got to be at their absolute best to get anything out of the game. Right now, obviously these internationals don't help. But it's a lot of players there on international break and have gone and played heavy minutes after playing a long World Cup is absolutely the last thing their player needed and the last thing United needed as well. But players like Lukaku goes there. Another 3 goals I think during the international break. One against Scotland, a couple against Iceland. 2 more great performances. In that sense, it's. It was a handy break for him because he stays on a goal on the score sheet.
Some fitness concerns for United, of course. Marcus Rojo, who I almost forgot, he's a United player. It wouldn't be a fixture if Phil Jones didn't have an injury concern. I think Phil Jones will pull a hamstring 6 months after he's dead. Sergio Romero, whatever. Those are the major fitness concerns, and of course Rashford, unfortunately, out with the suspension. Couldn't come at a worse time after getting 2 goals in 2 games for England midweek against Switzerland and, of course, against the Spanish.
Not forgetting Luke Shaw, yeah.
Yeah, and Luke Shaw picking up an injury. Possibly could see Diogo Dalot this weekend. I would doubt it. One thing that would concern me about this game, Martin, is Watford are very physical up front. Troy Deeney is a big physical striker. And I would worry if Smalling or Lindelof is the centre half pairing.
Well, start worrying. Because it's probably going to be that. Troy Deeney started the season well. He's back to his absolute best. It's a nightmare to handle, really, when he's in that kind of form. Big boy, like you say, very physical, and can score goals. It's going to be a difficult task, whoever United put at the back, to be honest with you. Be interesting if Diogo Dalot comes in. Looks like an exciting young talent, to be honest. It's playing where he's played before and now playing for United is a completely different kettle of fish, obviously. But, hopefully we get to see him sooner rather than later. We see what's going to go on with Luke Shaw. I'd be amazed if Luke Shaw comes back from that concussion. It's usually mandatory 7 or 14 days, depending on the special compensation, I guess, if you've got a certain level of facilities, if I understand it correctly. And United have those special facilities at the training ground, which enables concussions to come back quicker. based on seven different types of testing, I guess. It's a strange one. I
don't
surprised.
Think they're allowed to do it, though, either. I think with concussions...
They can do it.
But I think, isn't there a protocol, though? I don't know. You might be right. I thought there was a protocol that it was mandatory. No matter what, you had to leave them out for at least a week.
There's a baseline testing. And basically, you have to pass this test to come through. And from what I was reading, there is special facilities that if you have these facilities and they provide obviously a higher level of care, they can come back in 7 days, unless I've taken some happy pills and I've dreamt that. I'd be surprised. I mean. Protocol usually is for a concussion, but I mean it would be a big risk to rush him back, and it would be a shame for the lad the way he started, the way he looked for England. What a blow, just an absolute last thing he needed with the run of form he was on. But obviously if they can get him fit again, they want to get him back firing again so he doesn't miss too much time, because he started superbly well, and hopefully we're starting to see the Luke Shaw again that we know he can be. And mentally, he seems to have turned the corner and has changed. Something has changed. You know, something has changed. And meaning with him. He's made a conscious decision to change something in his life. And he's reaping the rewards.
All right, so you said an awful lot there, Martin. And I wanna pick up on just about everything that you said. Because you talked about Luke Shaw's improvement. You talked about what he's become. And not once to mention anything about Mourinho, and I think that is exceptional, because as what you are illustrating, improvement's down to yourself. It's not down to Mourinho. Mourinho will help you. Mm-hmm. Well, if a player doesn't want to improve and a player doesn't want to do the things that he needs to do, there's nothing Mourinho can do. Luke Shaw's improvement is 110% down to him, down to the sacrifices that he's making, down to his attempt to get fit, down to his focus, down to his performances. That's all 100% down to Luke Shaw. Mourinho, of course, deserves credit as well. But ultimately, if a player wants to develop, it's up to him. And that's true in any profession, doesn't matter what it is. So, and the last time we saw a show on this type of form was, of course, back a couple of seasons ago under Van Gaal. And it was when we saw the best of Memphis Depay also, which was really no coincidence that on that left side, that was when we saw the best of both of them. And Depay never recovered from Shaw's injury. We never saw that type of form from him again at United. So terrible timing, even if it's out for a short period of time, it breaks the momentum for Shaw. And Luke Shaw,
one game,
yeah.
It's a tough one for him.
And I'm sure he wants to go to Watford and set the record straight, because if you remember, Martin,
oh God, yeah,
this was one of the places where it really started to go wrong for Luke Shaw under Mourinho at Watford. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Most likely, we'll see Ashley Young done in at left back, and then that's where young Dalot, I would imagine, will be on the bench. I suspect the starting lineup would be De Gea, Young, Lindelof, Smalling, Valencia, Pogba, Fellaini, Matic, Sanchez, Lukaku, Lingard. Martin, that centre back pairing scares the life out of me with the physicality that Watford have away from home. They're gonna pump balls in the box.
And you hit it right there, because that's why. Yeah, I mean, but that's exactly why Fellaini will play, and exactly why Matic obviously is nailed on anyway. But Fellaini, after his last performances, I mean, the fragility in that back two there, that centre back pairing, is why Fellaini is required. And this is, I mean, if there's a game for Fellaini, this is it, isn't it? They're going to pump balls into Troy Deeney, and they're going to need Fellaini's strength. Protecting that back too with Matic there as well. I mean, Pogba's going to sit a little deeper too. I don't think it's going to be pretty.
I don't need to be Mystic Meg. I don't need a column in the Sun to know that Smalling's probably going to do something stupid, give away a stupid goal, get caught ball watching, trip somebody up in the box. He's going to pull somebody down from a corner, and he's going to have that same stupid look in his face whenever the referee blows a whistle and gives a penalty or gives a key decision, that clueless, stupid look where it's like, oh, sorry about that, lads. It's the same mistake every week, and I'm still sitting there going, this is Manchester United. How is this guy still here? He should have been booted out 4 or 5 years ago. Wow, are you seriously telling me that Woodward couldn't have found a better centre half this summer?
Crazy. It's crazy.
Unbelievable to me.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Again, we just started the season and we're looking, I don't know who was in the press yesterday, was saying if we can just hang around in that top four and get a couple of centre backs in January. I mean, we're already talking about getting centre backs in the next transfer window. We've gone through one transfer window where, you know, it was deemed we didn't need anybody, you know, or there wasn't anybody better than what we had, which is complete nonsense. There's a major weakness there. Major weakness, and you could say that it's Sir Alex's back four, back five. It's still, which is crazy. You know, so
Martin,
nothing's changed there that we didn't already know.
When four of your centre backs are Jones, Smalling, Rojo and Lindelof, those four central defenders would barely get into any other Premier League team. Smalling would barely get into any other Premier League team, probably would lower half. Rojo, I forgot he's still a Manchester United player. No way he'd get into a Premier League team. Maybe the bottom half somewhere. The Rojo we saw a couple of seasons ago. Lindelof, on current form, wouldn't get anywhere near a Premier League team. This is unbelievable that this is Manchester United with this level of defenders. And Woodward to say, yeah, he's not really better than what we've got. Andrea Bocelli is better than what we've got in the back four, all right? So don't be telling me that he's not better than that Alderweireld, and we'll get to him in a minute, that isn't better than what we have. Speaking of Alderweireld, he's decided that this would be the appropriate time to say he's relieved that the move didn't go through to Manchester United, that he wanted to stay at Tottenham. He just forgot to say that when the transfer window was open. That's all he had to say, and say at once was, yeah, I don't want to go, and that would have been the end of it.
It's all very convenient. It happens all too many times.
Absolutely just forgot to say during the window when it was open, you know. And, of course, now he always wanted to stay here, lads, you know. So Toby Alderweireld, who, by the way, the last communication that I'd have with him is that they would come back for him, and I hope that they don't. So read nothing into it. And by the way, when a club makes an offer for a player, it's because they've been assured unequivocally by the player that he would go, and Alderweireld wanted to go. Why wouldn't he want to go? Tottenham wanted to sell him. He wasn't getting in Tottenham's team.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, do
they go back in for him? I mean,
Who can they go for in January? Here's the thing. You can't go in January and say, we'll go out and sign a few players here, because we need them. United need to sign players in January that they would sign in the summer. Not just because January you can get a one or two in, but because you actually need legitimate quality that's going to make a difference. Because 6 months from now, Martin, from January into the summer, you've now got a player on a four-year contract making 150 grand a week. It wasn't good enough, and now you can't move him on. And that counts as a squad number.
And all these other, they know at this point, they've got United by the balls. They know how desperate United need centre-backs.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, we argued about those the few million that Woodward haggles over certain players, and, you know, players that all of a sudden deems are not better than the players we are. Well, what's going to happen? Like you said, what's going to happen in January? What's going to happen next summer? Some prices aren't getting any cheaper, and meanwhile we're losing ground rapidly. So it's going to be you're going to end up settling for less than we would have got in the summer. In January, because we're going to be so desperate to bring somebody in.
Yeah, and I don't think they'll sign anyone in January, sign a defender in January, unless you get an Alexis Sanchez situation where somebody becomes available that you didn't anticipate. But, Martin, where are United going to be in January? I mean, we're talking about defenders. At this moment, we talked about the uncertainty going into the Watford game about not knowing what to expect. Nobody could tell you where United are going to be in 6 weeks' time. Mm-hmm. United are so reluctant to sack Mourinho, it would take another catastrophe for that to happen. I go back and forth on this, but the difference with Mourinho is when it starts to go wrong, it's not just results you have to worry about, because he's going to come out and knife people, right? And United are not going to let that happen. They're going to have their hand forced, and Woodward's not going to want to do it. But I look at that United team and I worry, Martin. I worry away to Watford. I would, anything other than a defeat here is a good result for United, and that is a terrible thing to say.
Strangely enough, and I never thought I would say this about a United team, but I wonder where enough goals are going to come from. Mm. You know, we talk about the defensive frailties, but I do wonder where the goals are going to come from. Alexis Sanchez looks a million miles away from the player, you know, mm-hmm. that we thought we were getting. Rashford doesn't play enough, I suppose, and when he does, he just looks so horribly out of touch. I mean, I know he got a couple of goals for England, but he looked horribly rusty, didn't he? I mean, I don't know if you saw the England games. Hey, fair play. Hey, forwards are judged on goals, don't get me wrong. But he looked incredibly rusty. And, you know, we asked the question. I know a lot of United fans are not upset, but get pissed off when the likes of, you know, Phil Thompson starts banging on about Rashford needs to leave United. And, you know, we don't want to hear that. But at some point, you've got to start asking the question for his development. What is he going to do? He's got to break through sooner or later now. And still start getting games.
Well, we'll get to Rashford and we'll get to player development in a minute, because there's some legitimate concerns there. Before we do that, a quick prediction with Watford. What do you see happening?
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, I agree that anything other than a defeat at this point, you know, you would almost go and take a point now. I'm trying to be realistic. Look, I'd love to be able to say, oh, you know, United are going to go to get 3 points, put on a great performance and get out of there and surprise. They very well could, but I've just got no conviction in saying that right now. And I want to because, you know, I still feel like with the team you can feel that there's a performance waiting there. But I don't know. I mean, like you say, with the defensive frailties, it's going to be a sit-back type of game. He's going to protect the two centre-backs. And almost rely on little bits of magic from a Sanchez, a set piece, you know, a couple of penalties here, there, mm-hmm. you know, in the early part of the season here. Lukaku on current form, yeah, scoring goals, but he's missing an awful lot of chances. So he may need 3 or 4 chances to get that goal. So that's what what I was alluding to when I'm just concerned about where enough goals are going to come from at this current time to win these games. Because the likes of Watford are scoring goals, and with the defensive frailties, you know, we're going to need a couple of goals a game to be winning games. Mm-hmm. So concerns, but I'd take a draw. Sadly enough, I would take a draw at this point. I would love to say we're going to win it, but I can more than likely see a draw.
I mean,
and a pretty ugly one.
What concerns me, you're dealing with a Watford team that does score goals, at least two goals in all four games this season.
They're flying. The confidence is sky high, and they know it's a vulnerable United team.
Yeah, it's a United team, and it's a United team that if they go behind, Martin, I don't think they have the character to drag themselves back into a game. You take a look around and you see the self-pity. I think United will lose this weekend. And I think you're going to have Mourinho, who wants a game, will single people out. Well, you'll see a volatile press conference. And I would absolutely love to be wrong. But yeah. I just look at this United team and I worry about this United team against anybody that has hunger, against anybody that has quality, because this United team's there for the taking. And if they go and put in a gutless performance at Watford and get turned over well, Martin, I just want people to make sure that they include the players when it comes to the criticism, because Mourinho inevitably will take it, but it's not just him. And so I hope that I'm wrong. I would love to see the opposite happen. But my feeling is this is going to be a defeat for United, and it's going to be a 2-3, like a 2-0. I just think it's going to be another performance that's going to remind us.
I would love United. I mean, I think this is a time where United need to just go out and go toe-to-toe.
Well, backs against the wall that we had before us against the word.
You know, not retreat into our shell and try and protect. I would love to see us come out flying and just go at them and then, you know, let them know that we're United. We are Manchester United here. Forget what's going on. This is Manchester United, and we're coming in. We're going to go toe to toe. We're going to come at you, but we know that's not in Mourinho's DNA, really. So it's going to be a little bit more pragmatic, and it could well end up, like you say, go behind. And what we've seen from this current crop recently, I'm the same. I don't know if they've got the fight. I don't know if the fight's in them. I don't know if the fight's in it for the manager. You know, whether they will dig deep for him and play for him when going behind, I don't know. And again, I'm with you. I'd love to be wrong. It's just hard to see where we're going to win this game. And I can't believe I'm saying that.
It's not a massive surprise to me that when you look at Manchester United, you see a team of individuals rather than a team. Mourinho said this before, we're not a team. United treat people like their individual brands. So when you say we're Manchester United, you've got Pogba taking the pitch saying, I'm Paul Pogba, TM, trademarked. I'm Sanchez, trademarked. You know, I'm. This is about, as Richard Arnold once said, a collection of Hollywood superstars. This is exactly what United do. United have turned all these individual players into brands so that they can profit, and therefore they take the pitch with no concept of team. I'm not saying that that because they're treated as a brand by the club to exploit the commercial potential, that's the sole reason why they do it. But, you know, when you look at someone like Pogba Martin, who clearly doesn't know how to strike a balance between his commercial activities off the pitch and what he's doing on the pitch, because he's got it all wrong. He's got the wrong way around. You can see why this happens, why Pogba takes the pitch and is more concerned about the color of his hair and the branding and the social media and all this nonsense rather than actually putting on a performance for a football club he was made captain of.
Little comments. I mean, he made a little comment, you know.
It is you talking, son.
After the other game, you know, what was it he said? He's after the international break. Oh, so great to be back. Can't wait for the next time. Can't wait to see you again, fans. And just little things like, just start to irk you a little bit. And
yep.
I know it probably doesn't mean an awful lot, but it's little things like that. You don't want to hear that right now.
He's doing it deliberately.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. That's not an accident. And
disappointing. No,
he's not as smart as he thinks, Martin.
No.
You know, to think that I'm going to send all these little coded Instagram messages. Why didn't he come out and slaughter Pep Guardiola for saying he was offered to Guardiola? Mm-hmm. Why didn't he come out and say something? He owed United fans an explanation.
Yeah.
So, all right. I hope United get the result this weekend, but I can't say that I'm particularly optimistic. We will see what happens. You were talking about something there as we were summarizing what we could possibly see this weekend about player development, and you talked about Marcus Rashford. So, Marcus Rashford, of course, with Gareth Southgate, said that Rashford is ahead of Harry Kane at the same age. He says, obviously, a fantastic talent. The thing that's missing in Rashford's game isn't something that I'm overly concerned about. It's something that will come, in my opinion. He's not a clinical finisher yet. That will come. It came and didn't come right away with Ronaldo. Ronaldo didn't really start finding the net with regularity until he's 23. Sometimes we forget how young Rashford really is. Magnificent talent, but he needs to now start to have a higher conversion rate because United don't have the alternatives to carry Martin, right? So, you know, at City, they've got, if Gabby Jesus isn't playing well, Aguero will get the goals that they need. Lukaku hasn't found that killer instinct yet either. So we'll see what happens, but Rashford's at a very, very precarious point in his career. Now, we talked about how it's down to the player's development. But when was the last time United truly developed a player? When was the last time you saw United get a young player, vastly improve him? I don't think it's happened since Ferguson left the club. And if they're not producing and developing players at all, I'm concerned about Marcus Rashford. I'm concerned about his development. Yes, it's down to him too. But why can't United develop players? 700 million has been spent since Ferguson left the club. How many of that 700 million would you say have improved? Even look at Wan-Mata, Martin. Take a look at the Wan-Mata that was at Chelsea. Brilliant player. Player of the year, I think he won 3 years in a row. Magnificent. Where's that player? Where's the Alexis Sanchez that played for Arsenal? I'm fed up looking at other clubs who sign players who come in, who do exceptionally well, and the opposite happens to United. You need to bring in players, sign players, and they underwhelm. Why?
It's a good point. It's a very good point. I mean, it's got it. It's very concerning. I mean, you hit one of them there. The Sanchez one is very concerning because there's not been back-to-back good performances from him. The Pogba's, you know, Lukaku. I mean, Lukaku is young and he's getting there, but again, doesn't have the killer instinct, doesn't have the conversion rate, doesn't have the consistency. But if you look at the goal record of Lukaku, he has scored a ton of goals. Mm-hmm. And that's why I messaged you yesterday saying, you know, is he underrated? Is Lukaku underrated? Is he overrated? We can call him a flat track bully. You can call him what you want. But look, someone's got to score the goals against people.
No, I think he's both. I think it depends how you evaluate his game.
He's a strange one because you can see both sides of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I'll always point to just look at his goals tally. And I don't care who he gets his goals against. He's going to get more goals against lower teams because he's going to get more chances against the lower teams. What he needs to do is, and you know, a lot of it can't be tallied on him about the amount of goals against the top level clubs, because in the current crop of players, we're not getting opportunities against those top level teams. He may get a chance a game. Granted, he's got to start taking more of those chances, but I'm not concerned. He's got goals in. He's scored a lot of goals, and will continue to do so. And I think he'll score more and more. But another one who looks more comfortable away from Manchester United. He looks far more comfortable in a Belgium shirt than he does in a United shirt.
You know, when United signed Sanchez, Martin, there may not have been a closer thing to a guarantee that you're getting a top-level player. He was the Robin Van Persie. You know, Van Persie came up to United, 29 years of age, fantastic goal-scoring record at Arsenal, been playing in the Premier League for years, no problems. Easy transition. Alexis Sanchez at Arsenal. You know, 2016-17 season, 38 games, he scored 24 goals, more than 10 assists. Yeah. We're nowhere near seeing that player. No, even in his last season, where he was unhappy, he played 19 games for Arsenal, 7 goals, 3 assists. Where's that player? Right? If you look at his track record at United, after he joined United, he then played 12 games, 2 goals, 3 assists, right? This year, no goals, 1 assist. And it was a lovely one, of course, for Lukaku. The player? Where's the Sanchez that we signed?
It can't all be down to Mourinho. I don't understand it.
No, because this problem precedes Mourinho.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I was talking about specifically the Sanchez case, but no, absolutely. This goes back. This is 3 terms. 3 terms, mind you, where we're not seeing... We're not getting any return on our investments. We're not, as you said, these players are coming in and they're going the opposite way. Why?
Why was he taken off at the weekend? Last weekend against Burnley. He played arguably his best game in the United shirt in a long, long time. Gets dragged off after 60 minutes. And he doesn't look happy, Martin, after being dragged off. Why is it 6 months into him moving to Manchester United? He already doesn't look happy. He's already been forced into turning around and making comments publicly about the level of player that this football club is signing. You can look at Sanchez as a perfect caricature for what is going on at United right now. And you can tell that behind the scenes at the football club, the atmosphere is not great. And I don't know if you saw this. I think I brought this up on a previous show, and I'm going to repeat it because it's worth repeating. I'm not sure if you saw one of United's training sessions. What is it the Spanish call that, where they have that, is it the rotunda or something?
Oh, the rondo.
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 Right. I don't know if you saw this, Martin, but honestly, right, the lack of passion, the lack of intensity, right, was truly unbelievable. They just strolled through it. They walked through it. But what was worse about it was there was coaches standing looking at them and letting them do it. And we had an incident this week with Roy Keane in Ireland where he absolutely tore into Harry Arter. I would just love to see Keane in the dressing room for a week. Just to absolutely petrify a few players, stick nappies on them.
Not that I agree with what Keane did to those two, because that's it was very personal, especially with what's his name, Walters.
Oh, Walters.
Especially the Walters thing goes back a little while. Laugh though, because people up in arms saying he should be sacked. I'm like, what? Why should Keane be sacked? You would think you were getting anything different?
No.
But you're dead right. I tell you, I would love Keno to spend one session there, because half of that crop wouldn't come back.
And
wouldn't
that's
come
good.
back
That's
again.
okay. Go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They need a bit of harsh reality about a little bit, you know, figuring out what passion is, you know, and it is, it's frightening. I'm sick of the haircuts. I'm sick of the
I know.
headphones. I'm sick of the stupid outfits and the dancing. Just get on with it. Show some passion. Show something that you want to be in a United shirt. You want to go out there and play. Because I saw the one you were talking about, the Rondo you're talking about. It was laughable. I'm
Joke.
like, I, you know, the teams I coach, it is, with the Rondo, if you're not doing them correctly, using the correct surface, playing on the correct foot, which is the far foot, letting the ball travel, playing two touch, in with one foot, out with the other foot, getting the ball moving at pace. If you don't do those basics in the Rondo, they are completely pointless. Completely pointless. You are not getting anything out of the exercise. So, yeah, watching the coaches stand around, it was embarrassing.
It was ridiculous, Martin, and honestly, just extremely disappointing, because at the very least, if you don't train right, you don't play right. And we are laughing, but these people are occupying a football shirt at this club. They're being paid a couple of hundred grand a week. Can you give me some? You know? He did that. These players look like an 11-year-old who'd just been asked to clean their room. And it was just ridiculous. It's really, really disappointing. And so this is where it's important that, like I said earlier, if United do lose this weekend, make sure you remember to criticise the players, because they deserve it.
I would like to see Rashford get a start this weekend.
Well,
I
he's think, suspended. You
know, oh, he's suspended. That's right. Sorry. Sorry.
He's suspended with a red card.
Which is ridiculous, by the way.
It's just naive anymore. And he gets sucked in. Phil Barkley's a joke. But it shows an experience.
If that's a bleeding three-game ban, it's not like he headbutted him, did he? He really rested his forehead on him.
Well,
yeah, that's the state of the game, though, today. I mean, he did. He got sucked in. I mean, a naivety, and he won't do it again.
But okay.
But you know what? That comes from frustration.
Yes. But
that comes from frustration, from spending time on the sidelines, wanting to be on the pitch, you know.
Here's my frustration with him, Martin, bastard. Though. They didn't get – they missed Barnsley's kick. Barnsley kicked him. Barnsley just took a swipe on him. Barnsley should be suspended too, right? He should have, because if the referee misses it and doesn't deal with it, there should be retroactive action. Should have been retroactive action. So Rashford got punished because he got caught. Barnsley didn't get punished because he didn't get caught. You can't have that. He should have had a retroactive red card too. And of course, Rashford was stupid. He leaned his head in. But who was the goalkeeper? Joe Hart, right? I don't know if you remember when Joe Hart stuck his head in the referee.
On the referee, yeah.
And, of course, this was right when Di Maria pulled the referee in the FA Cup against
Arsenal. Was it Mike Oliver?
But Joe Hart was stuck ahead in him. A referee.
Mm-hmm.
And see, this is the problem with consistency. I understand that two human beings looking at the same thing can come up with two different interpretations. I understand that. But when someone's putting a head into somebody, that's objective. That's not subjective. That's relatively easy to determine. That is a violation of the rules, you know, and it's ubiquitous, and it should have been sent off. And so inconsistency was just stupid. And at a time whenever you need a body need Rashford. So,
because he would have. He probably would have got a start.
We'll certainly be in consideration anyway.
First time his international career, I believe he's scored in consecutive games.
So I would assume it's quite possible we could see Anthony Martial.
Oof. for 20 minutes, for half an hour maybe.
Yeah, it all depends whether Anthony feels up to playing or not. I'm sure there's a couple of people listening to this who's Martial FC who are going to get very, very upset, you criticising their football club, or I mean their player, this is... Like we said earlier, why we're talking about players who play as individuals, this is part of the reason why it happens. And so Anthony Martial is a magnificent talent, but an absolute disgrace with a capital D, right?
Hopefully he takes a leaf out of Luke Shaw's book and makes the necessary changes in his attitude.
Martin, he looks completely disinterested.
Yeah.
And you know what? Anyway, so... we'll see what happens. Again, a player United badly need. I mean, it's a terrible thing whenever you, the basic standard you're asking for is for players to care. Just care, that's all. Just care. If you don't want to be there, that's fine. You can leave.
Just right? show us you care.
Yeah.
Just show us a bit of drive and a bit of determination, because I tell you what, it's going to be needed this weekend.
Well, you're not exactly a Chilean coal miner. You know, you're playing at Old Trafford for 90 minutes, mate. Right? So, can you give something back, you know, to the people that are paying in every week to actually watch you? And give something back to the fans who defend the indefensible, who defend Martial. Give something back to the Martial FC fans at the very least. We'll see what happens. Hopefully Anthony Martial can bring himself to Kerr this weekend if he plays. But see, here's the problem for the likes of Martial and Pogba in the game. We touched on this before. You want to leave? Leave to who? Who's going to touch Anthony Martial? What top club would touch Anthony Martial?
Well, certainly the price tag. I mean, because United aren't going to let him go for anything less than they paid for him. Who's going to pay 60-odd million?
This is the problem. I would sit this guy down and go, where do you think you're going? Who do you think wants you? We'll see what happens there, Martin. And that's the thing about it. If he put in if he turned around to himself and said, you know what? I'm going to give 100%. I'm going to make a deal with United and say, I'll give you everything I have. But see, at the end of the season, you have to sell me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put in the performances of my life, week in, week out. Not for Man United, but for the people that want to buy me so that they can see what they're actually getting. That's fair. Ronaldo's last season for United was a record-breaking one, right? You know, consummate professional. Do that. Give me everything, and then you can leave. But you haven't left it, Anthony. You're still being paid by this football club. You still occupy a shirt at this football club. So we're entitled to expect something back. Not what we're getting right now. When was the last time he put on a United shirt anyway? The Brighton, wasn't it, away? It was absolutely appalling. I forgot he was there.
So disappointing, man. It's just, but I think it's just a big indicator that we're saying this about multiple players.
Exactly. This is the problem. Why is that happening?
We're not singling out a player. There's a handful of the players. Maybe a handful of players in and around the first team who are getting picked every week. Or on a bench. It's disturbing.
I completely and absolutely agree, because you see that none of these United players look happy. They all look completely miserable. I want to ask you about the incident that happened at Turf Moor prior to the international break, with the United fans, of course, flying the airplane over Turf Moor. Specialist in failure, deliberately directed at Ed Woodward. Before we get into this, let me say a couple of things. One of the reasons why the column inches are blank when it comes to Woodward and it comes to criticism of Woodward, I mean, it's not that the media don't know that Woodward's culpable in this. It's because Ed Woodward, in this business, access is currency. As they get access to Woodward, Woodward feeds them, and they won't bite him because he constantly leaks. He constantly gives them inside info that's going on. And therefore, as a result, they don't criticize him. But I want to say something that needs said. This idea that David Gill was some type of flawless guy, that we just haven't replaced David Gill, is just total nonsense. He missed out on players all the time. And really is culpable for, in many ways, for the mess that United find themselves in, because they could have had Guardiola. They didn't. Him and Ferguson appointed Moyes, and United have never recovered. So, do you go along with that statement that Woodward's specialist in failure?
Yeah. I don't think you can say he's a specialist in failure. You look at the names, look at the people he has brought to the club. Well, it's if he gets them, look, we know how many players he's missed out, and we know what a shambles he is, and we know what his dealings are like, and we know how he acts and approaches these kind of things. We know that's a mess. But he still brought the likes of, you know, a Sanchez, who, you know, probably would have got anywhere in the world almost, a Pogba, who would have got anywhere in the world. It's not his fault that these players don't end up, you know, don't turn up. So, is he a specialist in failure? That's a little bit harsh. Certainly doesn't wow me, you know. But especially in failure is a bit harsh. But I mean, it's just a whole flying the flag. Was it United fans? There's major rumours out there that came out of that flag was flown by a certain newspaper.
No, definitely flown by United fans.
I feel like we should be ashamed of ourselves. That's a big small club mentality, and it's embarrassment. I can't stand that. I just despise that. I despise the Moyes one. I despise that one.
Well, that's fair enough. Here, I wouldn't agree with the message that he's a specialist in failure, but there's certain things that he's failed with. Number one being transparency. I believe Woodward communicates, we talked about who he communicates with. He communicates with the media in a clandestine manner, communicates with investors. Who does he not communicate with? The United fans. Ed Woodward should be doing a quarterly interview every year. He should be doing it with fanzines. He should be reaching out to United fans groups and making sure that the club are transparent. But the, when you're not transparent, it's because you're hiding something. And Woodward doesn't want to be cornered on questions that United fans have. He doesn't want to have to answer for this football club and the its failures. He doesn't want to have to answer about what happened over the summer. Look, you cannot overrule a manager on a football opinion. That is a disgraceful overreach from Woodward, and he's got no business doing that, and he deserves every bit of criticism that comes his way for that.
Yeah, and what he can do is say, we don't have the funds.
That's a different answer. That's exactly fine.
That's what he can do. But when that's you start talking about pure footballing decisions, you're spot on.
But see, and even if he did say, we don't have the money, Martin, he's not even talked himself into a problem with giving that answer by his braggadocious comments about what United can do this and can do that, and now all of a sudden United cannot complete basic deals.
That's why he hurts himself.
Exactly,
because he wants to be front and center. You know, when we've got a new friggin' tampon in Pakistan, you know, or you know, he's front and center. He's out. And then you know, hides behind it, and we don't hear a word from him when he leaves the tour early to go to Australia 2 years ago to sign somebody, and then we never saw him for 2 months, and there was no player ever came in. But, so you know, he hides behind it when there's tough questions on the football pitch to be answered. But like I say, when these deals come out, he's front and centre. And look what I can do. Great. Well, that's what we want you to do. Then off and do it, and bring in somebody who can make the decisions on a footballing front.
But he shouldn't even be saying that, because at the end of the day, signing players, all he's responsible for is the paperwork. He's not responsible for anything else. What if Mourinho turns around and says to him, I don't want to sign anybody this summer. That should be a done deal, no problems. So Woodward shouldn't be talking about what United can and can't do in the market. Any idiot knows you don't walk into negotiations to say, look how much money I have. I mean, you have to be an idiot to do that.
And it's just so naive, it's staggering.
But we know what this is. We know who he's talking to when he does this. This is advertisement. This is talking to sponsors. So everything that comes out of Edward was not a stupid guy. He's a smart guy. He's an investor. He's smart in his field, but he's not a football man. And I've been in his company more than once, Martin. He's a nice guy. He is a fun guy, but he doesn't know anything about football. And it's ridiculous that he is. I mean, can you imagine Mourinho turning around and overruling Woodward on investment? do you think the Glazers would let that happen? I'm 100% certain it wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. I'm 100% certain, because if there's one thing United cherish more than anything, it's revenue. So his leaks are problematic, because his leaks illustrate that he's doing this job wrong. When you're overruling your manager on football decisions, that's a problem. How can you not see that that is going to cause a problem? How can you not see that that undermines Mourinho immediately? How can you not see that players will read that? And if you don't know who your boss is in any job, right, it's very difficult to get leadership, because nobody knows who they answer to. And if you give...
Yeah, absolutely.
If, you know, and so... Mourinho, Martin, probably the biggest thing, there's some self-motivated people, but they're in the minority. Most people will do their job to a certain standard for fear of being sacked. That is a motivating factor. But when your boss can't sack you, this is a problem. Woodward completely undermined Mourinho, made his job so much harder. And in my opinion, if Mourinho goes, Woodward should walk out the door with him.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd take that. Absolutely.
But why would you have any confidence that he can appoint the right guy at this point?
Well, yeah, that's it too, isn't
What's the
it? There
criteria?
is no confidence.
Well, I would love to ask him, why Mourinho? Why did you hire him?
Yeah.
Because what am
You know what you were getting?
Yeah, what is happening right now that's a surprise to you? You could have wrote this out when you hired him that this is going to happen. It's predictable. So why did you hire him? And if we're in the third season meltdown, which by the way is a myth anyway, in his third season he won the European Cup at Inter Milan. But if we're in that meltdown period, why bother at this point since it's so inevitable? And Martin, Woodward has to accept responsibility. He runs his football club. He is the executive vice chairman slash CEO. He makes the decisions. He's responsible. He should be taking the blame for partly part of the blame for what's happening on the pitch. And that's where I support the fans because I want to see more criticism directed at other people in that football club, not just Mourinho, and Woodward deserve to take it because what he needs to understand is if you're making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, it's not always the manager that's going to take it, you're going to take it. And he's sensitive to his ego, he wants to be liked. And the fact that the fans see this, that's not a good look to sponsors. And that is what Woodward will fear the most because what you need to trade on with sponsors is fan equity. We can get our fans to buy your product because the club, the fans love us. Once that relationship is fractured, then sponsors are afraid of boycotts, they're afraid of being targeted, and United, that's their worst nightmare. So this is something that he, I think, will have an effect on him.
Well, it has to. But I mean, I think it goes back to, what we've been saying for a while, and that, with businessmen trying to meddle in the football inside, we've got businessmen trying to run football, trying to run the football side of it. We don't have football men making football decisions. So as far as he's concerned, as far as the Glazers are concerned, he's doing his job just fine because the millions keep coming in. But at some point, like you said, the way it's going, the products on the pitch, what we want is completely different than what they want because they want the dollar signs, they want the pound signs, and that'll keep rolling in. And until that's affected, there'll be no changes.
All right, before you go, Martin,
Yep.
I threw a few tweets out, or I threw a few questions at Twitter and got a few tweets back. So let me read a couple of tweets off Twitter and questions. From BH Smith 90, Blake Smith. If we sold Pogba, integrated as replacements, would we be a more successful side under Mourinho? All
Yes.
depends on what his replacements are.
Yes. I don't know.
So.
I don't know if I don't even know if it does. That's almost at the point I'm at with Pogba.
Yeah.
I'm starting to be concerned, and I love Paul Pogba as a footballer when we've seen the best out of him. But I'm certainly questioning whether he even wants to be there at all. So are we better off just without him
Right.
and without the
Because we're,
distraction?
yeah, possibly. Prof underscore Mourinho is asking who's going first, Jose Martial or Pogba?
Pogba.
I'm gonna say
Oh,
Jose.
you know what? No, Jose. Sorry,
Yeah.
Jose. They won't get rid of the. They won't. Martial perhaps in January, but Pogba categorically won't leave mid-season. He will be, if he's going to go, which I'd still believe he will. I think he'll go in the summer, and I think one of the other two will have gone before then.
Okay, Kieran Reid asks, more game time for Andres Pereira. Should we, considering his loyalty, should we expect that?
No.
Nope.
I don't think we should expect it. I think he had his little chance. I think the poor game he had. I think Jose basically, how quickly he goes from.
I didn't think he was that bad in the first half
I thought
against
he was
Brighton,
okay.
did you?
I thought he was okay. I thought he was okay, but more's needed there. He's not going to give the physicality of a Fellaini, which is
Sure.
desperately needed. So I think Fellaini's climbed above him there.
All right. Benny Walsh.
Go on.
Benny Walsh asks, how important is the director of football? How would you identify a good one? And talks about money, Paul. A director of football is only relevant if he's allowed to do his job.
Well, yeah,
Although,
that's it.
yeah,
That's all.
although,
That's the end of it. If he
otherwise.
allows to do his job in this situation right now, it's absolutely critical that United game him.
Yeah, otherwise you're just getting another guy there for Woodward.
You're getting another yes man. It's another yes man for the board. If you get that, then it's just pointless.
All right, lastly, will we invest in the squad in January? Don't know. So many variables. Will Mourinho still be there? It all depends on so many different things. If he goes, would Zidane be the man coming in? Don't know. I laughed at an article saying if Zidane comes in, United would send Cruz. United couldn't send those players over 40. They've had a goal all them already. Did you miss the fact that they couldn't send Thiago? Did you miss the fact that they couldn't send Toni Kroos? I mean, it's just nonsense.
It is interesting. It's an interesting one right now, and obviously not that they would think about it because they're not football men, but you know, if you're not happy with the man in charge, which they're clearly not, if they don't trust the man in charge, which they clearly don't, that's been proven in the transfer window, you then if that is the case, then you have to get Zidane in right now. You have to, because who else is around? Zidane. I mean, I'm not saying this is what I would do. I don't know. I quite fancy the idea of Zidane in charge. Don't get me wrong. But if categorically, if the board do not trust the manager, which they've proven they don't, then get him out and get Zidane in before Zidane goes somewhere else, because there's no better person to come in my opinion, right now.
I completely and absolutely agree with you. I would do it today, because I think Zidane would lift the place. I think he would lift the mood in the place. He'd have immediate respect to the players. I think he would play a style of football that's more suited to the way United want to play.
And you know what? I don't think that's a knock on Mourinho. And I don't think that's even looking at Mourinho. I just don't think it's just not going to work with Mourinho. It's sour.
Yeah.
And I don't see it improving. And this wouldn't be a knock on, I want Mourinho, I get him out. I would just say, in the current climate, that the place needs a lift. It needs something. I just don't think it's going to work under Jose. It's just not there with the board, with everything. When that starts happening, the fighting starts happening there, and the disagreements start happening there, it's just the beginning of the end, isn't it? So it's inevitable at some point.
And that's the thing, Morton. I think if you send two quality centre-backs and you got everybody else to play to their level, you've got an exceptional squad there. That on paper is a better score than Liverpool's if everybody plays their strengths.
I absolutely, and I believe that for a little while now.
You need to badly need someone that's going to come in and give them that lift. Folks, we'll go ahead and leave it there. Martino, of course, big weekend, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, real quick, I can't let us go away without saying, you know, we had a Manchester United show. I want to give a massive, massive congratulations to Man United women. 12-0 in their season opener there against Villa.
Well done, ladies.
I'm going to be keeping a close eye on that and following them with absolute credit. And it was great to see the fan turnout with the flags out there, just like we see at Old Trafford. It was really good and warming to see the support they got and thoroughly deserve. And it's been a disgrace that we've not had a professional women's team for some time now. So I'm so happy to see them back and producing the goods on the field. Obviously beat Liverpool one as well, which always helps.
Well done, ladies. And that's good luck to them throughout the rest of the season. So, yes, folks, we'll go ahead and leave it there. Just before you go, Martino, quick prediction, Triple G or Canelo?
Triple G.
We'll see what happens.
Triple G in the 10th.
You think Triple G stops him?
Yep.
It's going to be close.
It's going to be a hell of a fight.
I can't wait. The whole undercard too. Chocolatitos.
Just hope your power doesn't go out.
Oh my God. Yes. Saturday bar went out all day on Sunday too. All right, folks, we'll go ahead and leave it there.
Right,
thank you so much to all of you for the amazing feedback that we get on these shows. Folks, for everyone who sends a tweet, thank you for your downloads, for if you can share this. We don't have budgets, folks, so we rely on you to share these shows for us, to let your friends know about them. And everybody who takes the time to tweet us, to give us feedback, it means the world to us. Thanks very much for all of you, for all the downloads. You're all amazing people.
And a reminder that, look, remember, these are all football. These are all footballing opinions.
Yeah, these are opinions.
We're all passionate about our football club. Negative comments, positive comments, talking points are all great. But when you get personal, just remember, it's just a football.
Correct. Folks, thanks to all of you. Martino, all the best, man.
Cheers, mate.
We'll talk
to you
again. Cheers, folks. Thanks. Bye.